You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
Did you know that when you speak, the words that you speak carry the weight of divine authority? You have power in your words. You are like your father. Your Father God speaks with authority. Your Father God speaks with creativity. Your Father God speaks with power. And when you speak, when you make a declaration, there is power in your words. Now, this message is going to be a message for those of you who want to move into the deeper things of God. And I want you, as you listen to this word, to prepare your heart and ask the Holy Spirit to help give you understanding. Because I know that when you come to understand these simple truths I want to minister to you, that you're going to walk in a greater level of authority, a greater level of power than ever before. Now, there have been some abuses to this biblical truth that I'm going to minister to you. Some have taken the idea, the biblical idea, that there is power in your words a little too far, even bordering on superstition. And I'm going to talk about that in this message. But before I even get into that, I want to lay the foundation for helping you to understand the power behind the words that you speak. You see, the authority and the power behind the words that you declare come from your Heavenly Father. Now, we have to understand how God speaks, how God makes declarations, before we can understand where we fit in the line of authority, in the chain of command. So first of all, I want to show you about the Word of God. The scripture teaches us very clearly that, number one, God's word is creative. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 say, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." Verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." Here we see that God spoke to the darkness. God spoke to the vast nothingness. And by the sheer command of His word, by the sound of His voice, He called into existence all that we know as our reality. The scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3, "By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen." In other words, faith gives us the understanding that God spoke all things into existence. Everything that you observe, everything that you experience, everything that you can touch and sense was spoken into existence by the Word of God. The origin of all things finds itself in the declaration of the Father. The scripture says in Psalms chapter 33, verse number 6, "The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born." Now, this is incredible power. From nothing, God brought about everything. From nothing, God brought about all that you see and know. Everything that can be known about our universe, everything that is known about our world, was brought into existence by the Word of God. He merely spoke. He simply wheeled it into existence, made a declaration, and caused all things to be. His will is so powerful that reality bends to it without question. His word is so potent that reality obeys it without question. So that's number one, God's word is creative. Number two, God's word is sustaining. Not only did God create all things by His word, but He sustains all things by His word. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, "Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, He created the universe." Remember, the Son is the Word. Verse number 3, "The Son," or the Word, "radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and He," the Son, the Word, "sustains everything by the mighty power of His command." When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son, or the Word, is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. Did you know that in physics, there is this theory called string theory? And I'm going to give you a very oversimplified explanation. I don't fully understand it myself. But what I do know is that string theory is one of the models that cosmologists use to try to describe the universe as a whole. And string theory says that everything ultimately is held together by tiny strings vibrating. In other words, everything, the theory goes, can be said to be held together by sound. It was the voice of God that spoke all things into existence, and it is the vibrations of his eternal command that holds everything together. His word holds you together. His word holds all of the laws together. Think about it. It holds the spiritual laws together. It holds the physical laws together. It holds the moral laws together. His word holds the universe together. All matter, all space and time are held together. They are threaded together and kept stable by the command of God. So God's word is creative. God's word is sustaining. And number three, God's word is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says, "It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." God's word always accomplishes the goal that he intended it to accomplish. God's word never returns void. Once God has spoken something, it cannot be undone. It could be said this way: God's word is the code of all reality. God's word, like a computer code written out, tells everything how it should act, tells everything how it should respond to its surroundings. It tells everything how it should function and move and exist. God's word is the code that reality is built upon. It supersedes all laws. It is outside of time and cannot be constrained by it. This is why the Lord declares several times, "I am," that is a name of God, the I am, meaning he is ever-present, eternal, not someone who is going to act in the future, not someone who only was relevant to the past, but someone who is living in the now, who exists in the now forever and is constantly moving in power. He has no time. He has no boundaries. His word accomplishes its goal. His word accomplishes its purpose. I want to read this to you, some thought that I had concerning this topic. Once the word of God has been spoken concerning a matter, there is no force, no will, no action, no opposition that can stop or even slow the fulfillment of the word. What God declares will happen when he destines it to happen, according to how he desires it to happen, where he wants it to happen, and to who he wills it to happen. God's word is final. And Jesus carried this same power. You see, that creative, that sustaining, that powerful word became the express image of the Father because Jesus is the Word. Now, God's will and his word are inseparable. His word accomplishes his will, and his will is reflective of his word. That's why Jesus fulfilled the will of God unto perfection, because he was the will or the word or the intention or the idea of God in action in the earth in full perfection. The scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." That's so powerful. "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus is the Word. He's the will of God in action in the earth. And this is something I want you to recognize, that there was a difference between the way Jesus spoke and the way the Father spoke. They both spoke the same things, but they spoke them from different positions. I'm going to tell you more about that in just a moment. But first, I want to look at the power that Jesus had in his words. With his word, Jesus delivered the captives. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 says, that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. With his word, Jesus influenced the physical world. Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 and 19 say, in the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry, and he noticed a fig tree beside the road. He went over to see if there were any figs, but there were only leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately, the fig tree withered up. In Mark chapter 4, verses 39 through 41, the scripture says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and waves obey him. With his word, Jesus had authority over angelic beings. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? With his word, Jesus raised the dead and healed the sick. In Mark chapter 5, verses 38 through 42, we see Jesus raising a little girl from the dead. In Luke chapter 7, verses 6 through 10, we see Jesus merely speaking a word and healing the servant of a centurion. This is the power that Jesus carried. With his word, he brought deliverance. With his word, he brought healing. With his word, he commanded the forces of nature, and even the physical laws that govern the universe bowed to the authority of Jesus' word. This is the power he carried. Now, as I said, they spoke from different positions. You have to realize that when Jesus came to earth, he stripped himself of certain abilities, certain divine qualities. This didn't make him any less God. Jesus was fully man and fully God, or I should say truly man and truly God. Jesus chose in humility to strip himself of certain divine powers. Now, this means that the way Jesus spoke the word was different from the way that God the Father spoke the word. And in seeing how Jesus spoke the word, we see a revelation of truth. We see the power that you and I have when we speak. This is what I want to show you. I want you to notice the difference between the way the Father and the Son use their words. You see, when the Father speaks, he creates. When the Son speaks, he shapes. God created men, so the Son healed and delivered. God created the physical laws, but the Son spoke and was able to command those physical laws. So Jesus most certainly could have done as his Father did, but he chose to model something for you and I. He chose instead to be an example for you and I of how we should exercise our divine authority. John chapter 5, verse 19 says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now, look again at the context where Jesus cursed the fig tree. Look at what he says after this. Matthew chapter 21, verses 20 through 22. The scripture says the disciples were amazed when they saw this and asked, how did the fig tree wither so quickly? In other words, Jesus just spoke. The fig tree withered, and the disciples said, how did that happen? Then Jesus told them, watch this. I tell you the truth. If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything. And if you have faith, you will receive it. There's power when you speak too. John chapter 14, verse number 12 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Now, Jesus has given us his authority. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 19, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see, Adam lost his authority through sin. Christ regained that authority for man through his obedience and perfection. And he has passed that authority on to us. Now, when I speak according to God's word, according to God's will, there is power in my words. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's the key, he heareth us. So we have to avoid superstition. Often you'll hear a believer say something like, oh, I'm not feeling well, or oh, I'm probably going to lose my job, or oh, I hope I don't get in a car accident. And another believer will instantly chime in, don't speak that. There's power in your words. Don't speak that. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And while I understand what they are saying, I understand the caution that they have, you have to realize that there are limitations to what you and I speak. So God the Father creates, God the Son shapes. We are to live like Jesus. The authority passed on to us wasn't that necessarily of the Father to create or call things into existence. If that were the case, we'd be in a lot of trouble. We'd be calling in some very unusual and unnecessary things. But we instead are given the authority of the Son. In other words, we, like the Son, are to shape our reality. So I remember I was praying for the sick in this prayer line, and this woman comes up to me and she says, I want you to pray for my eye. And I said, okay, what's wrong with it? She said, nothing, just pray for my eye. I said, is there anything wrong with your eye? She says, nope, there's nothing wrong with my eye, just pray for it. I was so confused. That conversation went on for, I kid you not, about 10 minutes in the middle of a prayer line. I have other people behind her. And I said, finally I said, ma'am, what is going on? What are you trying to say to me? It turns out she didn't want to say that she was blind in her eye because she didn't want to confess it or didn't want to call it into existence. I said, ma'am, listen, you're in a healing line. The very fact that you're standing here is an acknowledgement that your eye is blind. You're not going to prevent your healing by acknowledging the sickness. In fact, you can't even receive a healing until you acknowledge that you need a healing. So we have to avoid that sort of superstition. So man has been given the ability to tend to and shape the creation. Our words do not create, they shape according to the will of God. You see, God gave to Adam in the garden the raw materials of the creation. I'll give you an analogy. It's like a police officer. A police officer can enforce the law, but a police officer cannot himself violate the law while enforcing that law. Otherwise, he gets in trouble, ideally. So if a police officer comes to your home with his gun drawn and kicks down your door and says, give me all of your finances, give me everything in your house, I'm taking it, he can't do that. Why? Because he's moving outside of the law. He's moving outside of the authority that he has been given. It's the same thing with you and I. Yes, there is power in our words, but only when we repeat what the Father has said. God has spoken the laws into existence, the laws being the spiritual laws of the word, and those always overcome the natural laws. And we are to use those raw materials. We are to align ourselves with that word and speak it. We are most powerful when we sound like our Father. So we have the power to speak and declare and claim whatever God has spoken. We don't have the ability to contradict God or make him that, give him ultimatums or make him do things that he hasn't promised to do. We don't call things into existence. We call things into order. We don't call creation into existence. We don't call laws into existence. We don't call people necessarily into existence. We call things into order. We shape, we tend to, we oversee, we steward the creation, but we do not cause the creation. So faith is not my influencing of the will of God. Faith is my alignment with the will of God. So this helps to bring balance to some superstitious thinking. You can't just call things into existence and then they happen. They have to be aligned with the word of God. Remember, he said that if you ask according to my will, I will hear you. So there is power in our words, but we have to recognize that it comes when we repeat the Father. Now, there are some other verses I want to read to you. Here's a verse, and this is when the children of Israel were complaining against God. This is where you see the negativity of the power of our words. Numbers chapter 14, verse 28 says, "Now tell them this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say." Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, "The tongue can bring life or death. Those who love the talk will reap the consequences." Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 says, "Then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen." Mark 11, 24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Words transform your thinking. Words transform your surroundings. Words transform your circumstances. Words transform the people around you. You can speak life or death. There is power in your words. There is authority in your declaration. You can declare healing. You can declare that sickness leave. You can declare prosperity. You can declare deliverance. You can declare salvation. You can declare expansions of ministries. You can declare depression to be broken. You can declare anxiety to be broken. You have been given this authority. Now again, the balance is, this is not just you wielding your own will. This is you aligning by faith yourself with God's will. Faith is the key to activating the power of your words. Faith doesn't obligate God. It aligns you. So where is your faith? Is it in what God has spoken? Because there's power in that alignment. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.